the Bush administration has proclaimed a fundamental shift in American foreign policy. No longer will the United States wait to be attacked. The president and his senior advisors say the U.S. will take preemptive action to prevent attack. The White House is working to put this new national security strategy down on paper, but preemption always has been among the tools presidents have considered to eliminate threats before they become serious, NPR's Mike Schuster reports.
President Bush announced the new doctrine in his June 1st commencement speech to West Point graduates.
If we wait for threats to fully materialize, we will have waited too long.
Facing a threat with no precedent, the United States is ready for preemptive action to defend our liberty and our lives, the president said. Some officials are already calling this the Bush Doctrine. Gideon Rose, managing editor of the journal Foreign Affairs, said it is nothing new.
There's always been a desire to head off problems before they occur. There's always been the desire to eliminate the possibility of problems and therefore to destroy your enemy's forces before they could even think about attacking you. The problem is that it's been very risky.
There have been many examples, and they have indeed been risky. President Kennedy considered preemptive strikes on Cuba during the missile crisis in 1962. He eventually opted for a naval blockade of the island. President Johnson discussed preemptive strikes against China when Beijing acquired nuclear weapons. President Reagan authorized the bombing of Libya in 1986 after an explosion in a Berlin disco killed American servicemen. That was retaliation and preemption, and costly. It probably led to the Libyan bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 2 years later. President Bush cast his embrace of preemptive action as a shift away from the Cold War doctrines of deterrence and containment, key policies that helped to prevent war between the U.S. and the Soviet Union for 40 years.
Deterrence, the promise of massive retaliation against nations, means nothing against shadowy terrorist networks with no nation or citizens to defend. Containment is not possible when unbalanced dictators with weapons of mass destruction can deliver those weapons on missiles or secretly provide them to terrorist allies.
Many scholars of American foreign policy view this as a shift in emphasis, if not an entirely new basis for guiding American action. Facing another superpower in the Cold War limited the U.S. ability to use preemption as a policy. What's changed, says Greg Treverton of the RAND Corporation, is that the power of the United States is now greater, but so is its vulnerability.
So on the one hand, we can do things with respect to the rest of the world that we couldn't contemplate with respect to the Soviet Union. And on the other, we have reasons to fear that even these relatively puny, in traditional military terms, forces can do lots to us. So I think that does suggest that containment, which used to be the major part of a strategy, is going to be a piece of a strategy that's got to include much more proactive behavior.
President Clinton, too, considered preemptive action when it became known that North Korea was building nuclear weapons. Facing the threat of military strikes, the North Korean government agreed to freeze its nuclear weapons program, and the 1994 crisis passed. The U.S. could easily have attacked North Korea's nuclear facilities, but that might have sparked a counterattack on American troops just south of the DMZ separating North from South Korea, and a possible North Korean missile strike on South Korea's capital, Seoul. The Bush administration would face the same constraints today if it considered preemptive action against North Korea. Some foreign policy analysts worry about the Bush Doctrine in light of the administration's earlier nuclear posture review, which raised the possibility that nuclear weapons might be needed to attack deeply buried facilities, perhaps in Iraq, that hide weapons of mass destruction. This prospect alarms Greg Treverton.
Just the contrast between the idea of a nuclear weapon, even one used in the desert against some weapon, the idea of a nuclear weapon is so powerful that thinking of it being used in specific ways is almost a contradiction in terms.
It is not yet clear how the Bush administration will actually use preemptive action. The president apparently has already authorized covert action to remove Saddam Hussein from power in Iraq. Just talking about it publicly may be beneficial to the United States, says Gideon Rose.
It's not beyond the bounds of possibility that the Bush administration would like to achieve a reputation for being just crazy enough to do something really aggressive unless the Europeans and other allies agreed with them to do something more than they're doing now. And that kind of manipulation of your own image is a legitimate tool of foreign policy.
Rose says the key is to recognize which problems can be improved through preemptive action and which problems may be worsened. There are always costs, he says, and the administration needs to calculate them carefully before it acts. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Los Angeles.